email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Author, playwright and hookhead. Native, I suppose, is the word I'm looking for. Owen Colford joins us in studio. How are you doing, Owen?
I'm good. You know, I'm reeling from the Eurovision, as is everyone. Well, I'm not really.
You didn't even watch it?
No, I didn't. I forgot it was on. I'm jet-lagged. That's my only excuse.
I thought you would watch it because you're a music fan.
I actually really like Wild Youth. So I did think this was it. You know, we were going to go. But I heard the only winner in Eurovision from Ireland was Dustin. He was rehabilitated.
He was back on, yeah. The BBC invited him over.
I know, it's a cold day in hell. Has arrived.
I'd say the opposite. I'd say it's a thawing of relations between.
Yeah, this is like, we're starting, this is the antidote to Brexit. We're being drawn back together.
So you were in the States?
I was, yeah. I was spreading the gospel of Global.
Global, which is the new graphic novel, Owen Colfer and Andrew Duncan. And we'll talk about that in a moment because I did mention you're a playwright as well.
Oh, yes.
And Holy Mary is in the Olympia.
Yeah, this is a huge deal for me. First of all, because it's my first play in the Olympia, but it's Holy Mary by myself from Breed Cash Productions with Mary Murray from Love Hate and Jess Shearn, who's a playwright who did Waiting for IKEA. So that is from the 11th to the 15th of July with matinees for rainy day people who want to get their kids something to do in the afternoons. It's a family show about two arch enemies making their first Holy Communion. Right. So it's funny and poignant. And the point is that the first girl's dad has left home and moved in with the second girl's mother. So it's very complicated.
Tricky.
And that's something that actually happened when I was teaching, that there was two girls in the same class and the dad had literally swapped homes. And can you imagine how complicated that got? So very sad, but it did.
Very sad.
Very sad. For both girls.
Yes, yes. Oh, it's hard to imagine because when you are that age, that your parents and that little house that you live in is your world.
And you don't understand. One girl is saying, "You stole my daddy," and the other girl is saying, "I have a new daddy." And it just leads to awful complications. But
you've been Owen Colfer, you knock a bit of crack out of it.
I do, because life does knock crack out of things, especially in Ireland. But I try to be sensitive the problems of the people involved. But I think, mostly it's laughing.
Mostly laughing. Holy Mary in the Olympia. And you can go there to find out more details about that. And there are matinees. Global, this is a coincidence because we played that brilliant Lisa Simpson.
Will we
play that again?
It couldn't be more apt.
It sets up Global perfectly.
Oh, Ralph, how I envy your optimism. There is no Springfield 50 years in the future. With global warming trapping the CO2 inside our poisonous atmosphere, our superheated oceans will rise, drowning our lowlands, leaving what's left of humanity baking in deserts that once fed the world.
There you go. You don't need the clock at the end. Yeah. But it is, the clock is ticking, isn't it, on the planet?
You see, that really encapsulates what the kids are feeling. There's this new phenomenon called climate anxiety that children actually really have. And when we went to America, we especially found that because kids are really worried about what is happening. All they're hearing is this global warming. But they know that phrase, but sometimes they don't really get the specifics. And if you're telling kids in 50 years' time the oceans are going to rise by 1.5 inches and they're going to be heated by 2 degrees, it doesn't sound like
much,
a whole lot. So what this book is doing is trying to tell kids what is happening today or what is happening now. And
so it's a work of fiction and it's a graphic novel, but all of the details about how global warming is affecting the planet are true.
They are all true. I mean, we have the creation of new species of bear, the growler bear.
Tell us about that.
Well, the polar bears are up north and the grizzly bears are down south or in the mountains, and they don't really overlap because it's too warm for the polar bears and too cold for the grizzlies. But now we've got this middle area because of global warming, and the grizzlies are going further north. They're meeting the polar bears. They go for a few dates, maybe have a pizza, and before you know it, little baby bears are born. And these
growlers
are called growler bears or pizzly bears, depending on who the father is.
But
we chose growler because pizzly sounds inherently rude and the kids would just start laughing during reading. So we said growler.
And what colour are they?
They can be white or brown or a mixture. But often they don't have the skills to survive in the where they're born. So, for example, a grawler bear could be born in the Arctic Circle and kind of have the skills of a grizzly bear. And they don't hunt the same way. So you have grawler bears starving to death who become quite dangerous. And they're just hungry bears. They're not bad bears. And that's what we come across in this
book. And because of higher temperatures and the melting of the ice caps, that polar bears are and bears in general are getting closer to people.
Yeah, they have to because their hunting grounds are being destroyed. Like polar bears hunt on the ice and the ice is melting. So polar bears are coming into dumps. They're coming into villages. There's more polar bear attacks. There's more polar bears being shot. So it's just the natural order is all out of whack.
So your character who lives in Canada is?
Yeah, our character, she's an Inuit First Family girl, First Nation girl, sorry, and she wants to save the bears.
Right.
And she's kind of a little bit misguided because she decides she'll get a picture of this grawler bear and maybe she can stir up enough interest to get the bear station, which is just outside town, open up again to get government money in. So she goes out to take a photo of this grawler bear, and she finds one, but it's starving, and it chases her. And Andrew's the co-writer. His daughter had this story of losing her glasses, and she said, you guys never put a hero with glasses in." So we like the hero's based on Andrew's daughter.
Right, right.
And it's amazing how such a small representation can mean the world to people.
Yes.
So,
And then the other side of the planet, in the Bay of Bengal.
Yeah, we have Sammy.
Yeah.
Down there, and his island has been submerged where he used to live. So that's common down in the Bay of Bengal with India, Bangladesh, Eritrea. So people are moving back who used to live on these islands are now moving onto the foreshore, and there's no room for them. And people who live on the foreshore are treated like migrants, even though they've just come from that island, 20 meters off the shore. So they're living there. The ocean is heated, so the fishing patterns are different. They've lost all their fishing grounds and they're struggling every day just to survive. And typhoons are, there's 10 times more typhoons. So they have got to survive in an atmosphere of resentment, of poverty, of depleted fishing grounds. And Sammy decides he's going to swim down to his submerged island home and get back this lucky knife that the family always had, but they lost when the island was submerged. But while he's down there, a lightning typhoon comes in literally while he's underwater, and he has to get back to shore. And then Yuki has to get back to her village away from the grawler bear. So what we've done is hide all this information inside a cracking adventure story.
Stories, yes, yes. Yeah. And you, more than most people, know the power of the story. And we even know in recent referenda that the stories, personal stories, were what really communicated the message.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe that's what we need to do with climate change more.
Well, I think
more stuff like this, more books like this.
Well, yeah, I really hope so. I mean, that was our idea because there's a lot of stuff for kids, it's all very doom and gloom and it's all very scientific. And that's great. But sometimes kids want to connect viscerally to something and care about. So we're hoping, we made these two characters really amazing and cool and nice and friendly. And we hope all the kids kind of fall in love with them and they want them to survive. And then when you get to the end of the story, you can flick it open and see, this is what I can do. Because sometimes it can be very overwhelming. And there's really simple things that you can, and everyone can do every day if they want to help out.
And the illustrations by Giovanni Regano.
Yeah, Giovanni is over there in Lake Como. Poor fellow, we always say he do this short straw living in Lake Como. So Andrew's been over several times. I haven't been over yet, but
the illustrations are beautiful.
Andrew. We found Gio working for Disney in Milan, and we tempted him to the dark side.
Of
graphic novels, but he's absolutely amazing, and we're lucky to have him.
Is this a growing genre, graphic novels for this age group?
It's exploded completely.
Because they're different than, say, Dog Man and that Captain Underpants.
But technically it's like the next. The graphic novels used to be seen as a gateway book. You would maybe read a graphic novel before you were ready for a book. And it still is that. And it's still less, it's still less of a challenge for some people. But now they've become much more mainstream. And you see graphic novels in libraries and school libraries all over the world. So,
So we've about a minute left. So in your tour of America promoting Global, and people were asking, the children were asking you questions as if you were an expert on global warming.
I know.
I would imagine.
The way you say that, right?
No, but a man with a grey hair and a beard comes into a room and they assume, don't they? But so what questions are
they? I'm either an expert or Santa Claus. That's the presumptions. But They were. I used to say, I would always say, Andrew, why don't you take that one? If it was because I tend to just forget everything.
What were the main topic that they wanted to talk about?
Well, the main topic is always, you know, how high is the ocean going to go?
Yeah.
You know, how are. And if they live in a mountain, they're not that worried about it. So it was hard. We would have to tell them that it's not just the inch. That's not what makes a difference. It's the heat of the water.
Yeah, yeah.
Then again, 1 degree doesn't seem like a lot. So that's why we had to put it
in a book. Yeah. So Global, brilliantly illustrated, and obviously a cracking story. But on top of all that, you get an introduction to global warming in a very accessible way.
Yeah.
Owen, thanks so much for coming in. We always run out of time with you.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should just call you and have the chat.
Well, I've been sitting outside on the sofa since I got the date wrong last time. I came in a day early, if you remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Owen Colfer and Global is the book. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.